went to there on Labor Day to cover the protest, and I was arrested for our team filming.
And I think that what we're seeing right now is just yesterday there was a really absurd conviction that happened, where actually they had to pull, there's so many cases happening right in North Dakota that they're actually pulling judges out of retirement to handle some of the caseload. And one of the judges just yesterday convicted two of our water protectors to some time in jail, even though the state, the prosecutors, asked for them not to be convicted. So we're seeing an unfair court system in place in North Dakota that is persecuting water protectors whose only reason for being there is to protect water and to protect indigenous communities' right to self-determine what happens to their lands and communities and bodies. And it's really absurd that we're in that position now. And it makes sense because it's kind of this trickle down. If you have a tyrant in the White House who is blind and who is willingly blind to the effects of climate change and the effects of the fossil fuel industry has on the land, it's going to trickle down.
You're all involved in these bank protests. And I'm wondering, May, very quickly in this last seconds we have left, where you're focusing now.
In the bank's work, we're still focused on fossil fuel divestment. We've seen $5 trillion in assets under management made fossil free. We just had a huge divestment announcement from the Catholic Church and a series of institutions, including where Pope Francis is from. So the momentum is enormous. And the financial sector is very sensitive to this kind of pressure. So that's what I'm really glad we're working together on.
And the evidence of that, Lindsay?
Yeah, we're going after JP Morgan Chase. We know that they are the number one financier of the most extreme fossil fuels. Every year we do a report card. Many big banks are decreasing their investments in fossil fuels, and they're increasing.
Dallas.
And folks can be a part of this divestment campaign. On Monday, actually, there's going to be Divest the Globe. They can go to mazascatalks.org. You can check out IEN Earth's website for more information. But we're doing a massive global divestment campaign that's ongoing.
Well, we're going to leave it there. I want to thank you all for being with us. Lindsay Allen, Executive Director of Rainforest Action Network. Dallas Goldtooth, Organizer with Indigenous Environmental Network. And May Bouvy, Executive Director of 350 Action. And that does it for our show. We've broadcasted from San Rafael, California. I'll be speaking at Marin Center at the Bioneers Conference tomorrow, 9:30 and 4:30. Today, Juan Gonzalez speaks at noon at Princeton University. Special thanks to our crew here at the Community Media Center of Marin, Damian Brown, Michael Eisenminger, Jill Lazard, Megan Loretz, Ginger Saunders Mason. Thanks so much. I'm Amy Goodman for joining us.
You are listening to WHFR Dearborn.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views and opinions expressed on the new WHFR Journal are those of the hosts, producers, and guests, not necessarily those of WHFR, its licensee, Henry Ford College, or its Board of Trustees. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the new WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw here along with Alan Mazurek. And we are looking forward to many, many opportunities to learn about some people that could very well be decision makers in your future. What do I mean by that? Well, we're going to be talking with some candidates for the Dearborn City Council coming up in this show. In addition, we're going to talk sports a little bit later, as well as give you some updates on some events going on right in our own backyard. Alan Mazurek, welcome. Good to talk to you, as always.
And good afternoon. Good to be here again for the new WHFR Journal.
Thank you so much. We have lots going on by way of learning about the local ballots for council people, for mayor, for city clerk treasurer, and I've got just a very exciting opportunity right here on our own campus for people to get involved and to learn about the concept of voting rights in and of itself. So beyond the fact that we have the opportunity and the right to vote, we want to kind of learn about how that whole process works so that we can protect that right. And there's an opportunity with a town hall event going on right here on the Henry Ford campus here on Evergreen Road in Dearborn this coming Monday. This event is brought to us through the courtesy of the League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights, and they're hosting this town hall from 6 until 8 o'clock right here at the college. It is going to be held in the Andrew Mazzara Administration Building. Right here at the front center of our campus. It's the big sort of mirrored building on the that's the south side of our campus. It's a lovely venue, and there will be panelists from the ACLU, from Michigan Civil Rights Commission. There'll be people from Michigan Voice, and they'll be answering questions regarding voting rights and voting issues. State legislators also on hand to hear concerns. So this isn't just to tell you about why your rights are so important, but also to get your interests, your concerns, and talk a little bit about that. We have lots of different representatives scheduled to participate. United Way for Southeast Michigan and the Democracy Institute at Henry Ford College are all sponsoring this event. And again, if you'd like more information about it, you can simply go to the college's website, hfcc.edu, or you can certainly call the main college number, 313-845-9600. What I think, Alan, is most interesting about this is you get a lot of really good student perspective at the town hall. We have political science classes that will be coming in, you know, instructors bringing students, and lots of very active groups on our campus of young people interested in maintaining the rights that we have. No doubt some people are feeling like those rights are being trampled these days. So it's going to be a feisty event, if nothing else, and I certainly think a good learning opportunity. Free, open to the public, not just our campus community, but it's open to the entire community of Dearborn and Dearborn Heights. And I don't think they'll turn anyone away until it gets filled, which that's entirely possible. But again, the town hall related to voting rights this Monday, October 23rd, right here in the Mazzara building, the administration building, right in the front of our campus here on Evergreen Road.
Also, well, beginning at least on October 23rd, election season, voting rights, but also it is autumn, at least as far as calendar seasons are concerned, and loose leaf collection in the city of Dearborn scheduled to begin next week, Monday, October 23rd. I don't know how much the leaves themselves are going to cooperate in that, because I'm still seeing a lot of green on the ground and a lot of leaves on the trees, but nonetheless, the entire schedule for when your streets are going to be picked up if you live in the city of Dearborn are available on the City of Dearborn website at cityofdearborn.org and also on CDTV. They do recommend that the best way to have your leaves picked up is to put them in bags or containers, you know, approved containers for yard waste, some of those paper bags that you can pick up at the hardware stores, or in a 20 to 32 gallon container that you can get from the city for city yard waste. It's got a city yard waste sticker on it and a lid. But, you know, at this time of year, they do go ahead and start coming around and vacuuming up the streets. It'll continue all the way through December 4th, so hopefully by then all the leaves will be off the trees and we'll have had some nice colors in the interim, right?
Oh, sounds great. Opportunities to do so many different things. Oh my goodness, we just have so much going on. This is really the busy season for things happening community-wide for events. One of them, we've mentioned this a few weeks ago, it's Black Tie and Tails. It's that gala benefit, their 18th annual with the Metro Detroit Animals Organization, formerly the Dearborn Animal Shelter. And I'm understanding that tickets are still available for this event. It takes place Friday, October 27th at the Dearborn Inn. It is a benefit event to raise money for that new location that they're working on. And if you'd like more information, you can go to events@metrodetroitanimals.org, or call this number, 313-389-6838. That's 313-389-6838. And Black Tie and Tails is a wonderful event. We just have rave reviews about it, and it's for the animals, so what the heck, we'll enjoy it.
Why don't we take a short break and we'll get our first guest in the studio to talk. This is somebody running for city council. We've got a couple of council candidates on the agenda for today's new WHFR Journal, and we'll be back. You rest your voice, so, because I'm sure you're going to be talking to them a lot. So we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes to speak to the first of them. Who's up first?
Ramiz Haider, council candidate.
All right, we'll be right back on the new WHFR Journal here on WHFR.
I knew there was a better career out there for me, but I couldn't afford to quit my job to get the necessary education. Thanks to Henry Ford College, I didn't have to. In just 2 years, I earned my associate's degree and was ready to start a new career in the industry I love. I work hard for myself and for my family, and I've earned the chance to advance in my job and in my life. Henry Ford gave me that chance. I'm a Henry Ford College graduate, and I'm future driven.
Henry Ford College, future driven.
Thank you. Welcome back. This is the new WHFR Journal. Susan McGraw here along with Alan Mazurek. One of the features during this time of season, and that time of season I'm referring to is election season, one of the features that we do on this particular show is providing an opportunity for anyone running for local government to have an opportunity to share some of their thoughts and a little bit about themselves for our listeners. The caveat is we don't invite incumbents because incumbents sort of have their own forum. They're already out there in the community and already working in the positions that they might be looking for re-election to. But we do have several members for Dearborn City Council that are potentially new to the council this time around. And as you are making your decisions as members of the Dearborn community for that November 7th election, we want to introduce those council member potential council members to you. Our guest at this time is Mr. Ramez Haider, who is looking for one of those seats on the Dearborn City Council. Ramez, welcome. We're very excited to have you here today.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Maya. It's my honor.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Tell us a little bit about your background, if you would, to start, including education and work experience.
Well, I'm a resident in Dearborn for 33 years. I did I came here in 1987.
Here to Henry Ford College?
To Henry Ford Community College, and I graduated, and I went to Wayne State University. I got my bachelor in electrical engineering, and then I went back and I got my master from Wayne State, and I am electrical engineer right now. I'm still working, and I have four kids. I am married. I have four beautiful children. They all went to Dearborn Public Schools. And three of them already went to Henry Ford. As we all know, Henry Ford is close, is very good, you know, school, and families, you know, like parents, they feel comfortable their kids coming here, you know, especially when they first graduate from high school. So after 33 years living in a city and having kids and they're growing, I notice that we do pay high taxes in Dearborn as residents, and our insurance rates are really high. So, and also crimes and drugs, traffic issues, senior citizens issues. I really want to bring in my engineering experience to the city. In addition to that, right after, like before 9/11 happened, I went back to I went to the Sheriff Academy and I went to the Police Academy. I graduated, and I'm also a reserve commander with the Wayne County Sheriff Office. It's a position it's an unpaid position. It's volunteer that you do, you know, wear full gear, and you have you go and work as a full timer does. So I was helping out at the bridge after 9/11. I help with many details in the community. So I've been doing that for 19 years as a law enforcement, you know, commander with the sheriff, and also engineer. So that's why I'm running, so I can bring that experience to the city and help out.
Well, very good. Do you go by Zach?
Zach
to
is
your
my,
friends or to your yeah, part of your campaign?
Yeah, they call me Zach. Zach is my favorite name. Zach came from Zachariah.
Oh.
And it's a blessing name, actually, but it's not my legal mid name, or it's just a also known as. You can call me Ramez or Zach, whatever you like.
I saw that in some of the materials, so I wanted to ask.
Sure.
Okay. Well, when we talk about the position of city council member, there are a lot of positions out there in the community, certainly. But how do you understand this particular position of city councilor? What's required in it, and what types of responsibilities it would hold? Why
well,
this position?
I mean, as you know, we all know, you just have to have high school to be a council person. You know, a council job is, to my knowledge, is to manage your money, manage residents' money, people who pay taxes, and also to legislate. And technically, you're supposed to work with the community, with the mayor, with the government, to improve the life of the people. You know, it's like your voice. They are like you are the voice of these people. Now, it wasn't meant to be there for like 20 years or 30 years or... Really, it's kind of like a volunteer job. It's not really a job, you know, because you don't get paid for it. They only give you like a little bit amount of money. So I thought being there as a, like, for example, you know, when we talk about zoning or when we give permits to houses like 10,000 square feet, and next to it there is a 2,000 square feet house, you know. I mean, when we, like, you got to be in there, you know, you have to be in there, part of the decision making. And being here for 33 years, living in the city, I never thought about it. But when I look around and I see ordinances are being violated and not enforced, and there is so many people know each other, you know, like people will talk, you know, hey, you know, I know this guy, I know this, whatever, they will help you out. I don't believe in that. So if we all talk about transparency, and when I don't see it. Personally, I do not see it right now in the city. I mean, of course, the city is beautiful. We all love the city. We love the Henry Ford home, and we are so proud of it. But that doesn't mean, you know, we want to live not comfortable and not happy. So I figured being in there, part of the decision-making inside the city hall, will make a big difference.
Okay, thank you. How do you feel that you are especially qualified? You've given us some of your background,
sure,
and your experience, work experience, and school experience. We've got a lot of people running for council this time around, and we only have so many votes possible here. How do you feel especially qualified to do what it is that you feel needs to be done?
Well, if you want to use some criteria to measure candidates, if you want to measure them by education or by volunteer or by family style or anything with that nature, you know, having my, like I said, my education, having my sheriff reserve experiences, being a family man, living, I mean, I don't live in a gated community. I don't live in an area where I have a guard, and I am on the ground. You know, I am, when I drive my sheriff car, I am in East Dearborn, West Dearborn, the whole county. And I can tell you there is some city council has never been to Warren Avenue. They don't even know where Warren Avenue is. You know, they don't even know if there's a light working on Schaefer and Michigan Avenue or not. You know, I feel, you know, I've been there. In my job right now, I do a lot of cost-saving ideas for OEMs. It's part of our responsibility. Also, I do forecasts. I do budget management. I do a time frame. You know, if we can design cars for the next model year or the year after. So our mind as an engineer is way ahead and advanced. So right now, like, sometimes I'll be writing a check and I will put down 2024. Like, but, you know, I'm working on that model year. So it's kind of amazing, you know, how you are. So I feel that with my law enforcement experience, I'm a connection, my connection with the state, connection with the county executives, you know, some of the roads are county roads. We can work effectively to fix them faster, maybe. You know, I'm just a person like everybody else, does not have a business in Dearborn. I don't have any personal interest. I'm not looking for any attention or prestige or whatever. I just want to keep the city beautiful and help people to be happy and stop moving out of the city. People, they need to stop going away and improve businesses and attract people to come back to the city so we can have a stable life, stabilize our economy, so we don't keep changing things around.
Thank you. We are joined by Ramez Haider, who is a candidate for Dearborn City Council on this edition of the new WHFR Journal. And you've alluded to some answers to some questions that I plan on asking. I'm going to rephrase a few of them,
sure,
because I appreciate
sure,
the thoroughness of your responses here. You talked a little bit about what you feel makes you qualified for the position, and you decided that being here for your time frame and et cetera, gives you that sort of leg up over some of the other potential candidates. But was there one pivotal thing, one critical moment that happened that sort of turned in your brain and said, "I'm running for office"? What did it?
Was
it
there is
somebody
couple,
else?
Absolutely,
what?
There is a couple of stories that triggered my decision-making cell to go ahead and say, you know what, first of all, Dearborn, to me, you know, Dearborn is a diversified city, but we got to keep it that way. And lately, I don't see it that way. I see, like, this area for specific people, this area for certain people, this area, and that's not healthy. You know, when my neighbors started moving out to Dearborn Heights, and one of them went to Northville, then I said, you know what, there's something wrong in here, so let's talk. So I said, you know, I asked this guy, well, why are you leaving? He said, you know what, and he happens to be like a police officer in Dearborn. He said, I'm not raising my kids in a city that's full of drugs. I said, you're a cop. And I'm technically a cop, but I'm with the reserve unit. Well, you know, you should stay here and help out, clean it. He said, it's out of control. That's coming out of his mouth. And then when I look around and I say, oh, daddy, you know, this guy is driving, you know, 100 miles on Michigan Avenue. This kid is going crazy, passing stop signs, driving in his beautiful, rich car or whatever he got it from. And then my daughter, you know, saying, you know, oh, my God, they found some weed in the locker. Oh my. See, I hate to be negative. I don't want to sound like all the problems happening. But that was the reason I want to be there. You know, that was the reason I want to run. And that was the reason I really want to be the voice of these people, of the whole community. Enough taxes, I can't afford it. 2,000 square feet, the house, I'm paying 5,000 in Michigan Avenue in Greenfield area, and I pay tons of money. You know, my kids go to high school, to college here, right? Why don't we have a, like an internal hopper or interconnect or some type of busing system for a dollar? Kids will just jump on that bus, go to college, and come back home. Why do I have to buy four cars and four insurances? And each one has different classes. And all. You know, they should have a busing system that will, we have tons of, a lot of kids go to school here and UFM. You know, let's, they will love it, you know, to have like a station where they can all wait, you know, every 1 mile or 2 miles, just like downtown Chicago or something where the bus goes around so quickly. Those are ideas, you know, like enhance the biking lanes. You know, maybe people want to come on a bike to the college, make it easy for them. Just like the people in Germany, you know, they live on a bike, you know. So we have to think a little bit, you know, different now. You know, things are getting expensive. Economy is going crazy, you know. So I hope people will listen to me and they will consider my running for Dearborn City Council. This is to help people on November 7. So I'm not sure if that was the question you asked, but.
Well, I think it was a very thorough answer, so I appreciate it. And yes, you did answer my question. So those are some of the challenges, sort of some of the reasons you're motivated to want to stick here and do more. And
sure.
You've alluded to some of the problems that that seem very real in your experience here, as well as others that you've talked to. But let's focus just a little bit now on the things that you see as the perks or the benefits or the best parts about this city and what we can do to keep those going and to even enhance and make them better. So sort of the positive side of potentially being an elected official.
Right. So like parking structures. Like if you go, I mean, Warren Avenue, for example, is the heart of economy and the food business in a city. I mean, almost we have, I don't know, hundreds of restaurants in there. But there is no place to park. You know, like if you go to Buddy's Pizza, I mean, I'm naming names, I'm not trying to advertise for them. Right behind Buddy's Pizza or Buffalo Wings, there is a parking structure, you know, not nice. So the proposal is to take some of these houses behind all these businesses on Warren Avenue and turn them down, knock them down, and have a nice parking lot. Security, safety, you know, make it more bright, make it more attractive, appealing. You know, you go right now with your husband or your boyfriend or your family to Royal Oak, to walk on Main Street so you can enjoy the walk, the beautiful weather sometimes, and the seating outside. Why don't we have it here? What do they have that we don't? You know, so let's bring Royal Oak over here. Let's bring Northville to Warren Avenue. You know, that Main Street should be in here. We have a beautiful restaurants, the best restaurants in the country. You know, we have the best city as far as the name recognition. You know, you name it. We need to make our city a little bit more attractive to new businesses coming in here, enhance the whole city, not only like one area of the city and ignore the other area, like South End of Dearborn. It needs a lot of help. We can't leave the pollution issues open forever. We all know there's a pollution issue. People are dying. People are dying from cancer. And it seems like we talk about it and then we just forget about it. You know, I work for an automotive company. We have a plant that makes paint, makes cars. So anything goes up in the air, it has to be filterized, has to be up to the government standards to make sure it's good. So we need maybe to hire other companies to come here and make sure our manufacturing facilities in Dearborn are up to date. You know, the positive thing, we have Ford Motor Company coming in. They're bringing in a lot of jobs. You know, we need to have a better relationship with Ford Motor Company. You know, maybe bring all these businesses to the schools and bring more internships. You know, the city will play that role, you know, in a way. You know, senior citizens, give them more more roles, account for them. Right now, they're just forgotten. You know, they cannot even walk on the street. They're afraid to walk so they don't get hit by someone who's gone crazy and drive and talk on the phone. I'm a public person. I'm a person on the ground. I see things happening. I respect all the other candidates and incumbents and whatever, but trust me, I don't think they've been where I've been. I've seen the people taking heroin. I've seen people taking drugs of all kinds. I am involved with their lifestyle. I either take them to Wayne County Mental Health or I take them to Brighton. And I do that for free. So we have many issues that, as a councilman, I will work on, and I promise to be there for anybody, anyone who needs help, and I will be the voice for the whole community. And my phone number is listed on my flyer. It's going to be the same number it's going to be when I'm in the city council. It doesn't matter. So I like to be very basic, very logic as an engineer. You know, I'm not a businessman or I'm not a, you know, we talk very logic. Our tolerance is very, very tight in anything that we design. So when enforcing budgets and talking about overtime to police officers and see, you need someone with experience, you know, to manage the budget and make sure we have enough money to fix our pools, to fix our libraries, make them up to date, promote Henry Ford or something, promote UFM. Let's talk about Dearborn education, about the schools in Dearborn, public or private, doesn't matter, you know. We have excellent, excellent system in here. We just need to have a little bit more communication with the people and the outsiders and attract people to come to Dearborn and enjoy it. Shop, hang out, study, and work.
Ramiz Haider is joining us today, and we are talking about things that he sees as challenges, as opportunities for his role potentially on city council, and is seeking your vote for election. You've really gotten into some hot button topics here. You mentioned a little bit about the environment and about sustainability, the bike paths, and so on. That's sure. That's a big thing right now. Some candidates are talking about it, some are not. If you could, we just have a few minutes left, but in the last couple of minutes, maybe what you feel really does warrant why the vote should be for you, as well as others that might have some similar sure. interests and similar positions. And then also, finally, how can we reach you? You said about your phone number being sure. accessible. Will yep. you be doing any additional events or anything around before the election date? So sort of a wrap up, if you would.
Okay, so the first portion was the question about, what was it about?
If in a 1 minute you had an opportunity to have a voter in front of you that's undecided.
Why would you want to vote for me?
Why you?
I'll tell you what, people in general, they vote for the same, for the same people in the office already. They get used to it. You know, Dearborn City Council is not a limit. There's no limit, like President of the United States, for example, where he only can serve, or she, only two terms. You know, I'll tell the people, listen, for 20 years, or 18 years, or 16, or 12, or whatever, that council person been there. I mean, what happened? Did the insurance rate go down? Maybe he couldn't. Maybe it's not his fault. But anyways, did the crime rate goes down? Are the police really patrolling all the streets like they're supposed to? But guess what? They don't have no money. So there's no overtime money. You know, they're in a fixed budget. You know, I'll tell that person, you know, compare. Be smart about it. You know, look at this person's background, where he's been. If I can be part of designing a car that you drive and you trust me with it, then you should trust me to be in your city council to represent you. If I've been working for 20, over 25 years, 23 years as an engineer, and designing automotive, working on hybrid vehicles, working on aluminum stuff, the sync system that you have in your Ford car, wire harnesses, hybrids, you name it, I've been there. You know, if I have four patents, they're still pending in our law office, my company. If I can make a group of engineers successful through design and deliverables on time, quality, etc., meet customer specification and government specification, you know I'm going to be there for you, and you know I'm going to do the job right. And add to that, My involvement in the city, I've been everywhere. You've seen me in uniform. You've seen me driving around in a sheriff car, helping people out, picking you up, dropping you off. If you got a problem with your daughter, you call me. That's what you guys been doing. That's what I've been doing. It's not my job, but please, can you come talk to my daughter? Maybe she will come down a little bit. Talk to my son. You know, he's hanging out with some people. You know, when they see you in uniform, I say, you know what, when I'm working, I'll stop by, you know, just to, not to scare the kid, but, you know, to give him a good, some, you know, advices. You know, I've been there for you. You know, maybe the name, you don't know me. Maybe the name is Hyder. It's not like, you know, a common name. But talk to me. Call me at 313-510-5100. You will know who I am. You know, I'm a person. I'm one of you. I'm not strange to the community. You know, I'm not here to market an agenda, and I'm not here to promote any business that I have. I only have my family and my friends and the residents that I care about. And I just want to make, as beautiful Dearborn is, I just want to make people happy and enjoy it and stop moving from the city. You know, we cannot afford people to leave and new people come in, and that's not a stable lifestyle. Yes, the business, I mean, as far as real estate, is booming. We know that, but it's not. That doesn't mean it's good. That means people are leaving, and you have new people. Now we got to deal with the new people. We got to train them. We got to show them what this thing is about or whatever. So that's what I would push for. I'm a family man. I'm an open, my heart in the city. I love the city. I would like to help police officers, the sheriff, first responders. You know, that's my goal. And I would appreciate it if they will consider me November 7 as one of their picks, one of the top picks, maybe. I don't know. But I would definitely appreciate it.
Right.
And I want to thank you guys. Really, I appreciate what you guys do. This is my school. I was here in 1987. And my kids go here, and this is a wonderful school. If there's anything I can do for the school also, you let me know. I came here a couple times in uniform. I talk to kids about how important to stay in school. I forget that it was one of the, I cannot remember the class name, but it was one of the teacher who invited me, and I got the okay to come here from my boss, and I was in uniform talking to kids about how important to be a volunteer, how important to be educated, have a degree, you know, whatever, and it was good. It was good. So thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate your time as well. And Alan and I both, I think I speak for Alan, we certainly echo your sentiments about this school. It's been in our blood for many years as well.
Yes,
so
it has, yes.
Yep.
Very, very proud to represent Henry Ford College. Very excited to be here. We thank you for your time
thank
today.
You.
We wish you the most success. And
thanks
for giving us some insight into your candidacy.
No problem. If you have any questions, you call me too.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks so much. We've got more on the way. Again, Ramiz Hyder joining us as a candidate for Dearborn City Council. Do note, as we have indicated in past shows and will continue in future shows, that the views expressed on this program do not represent Henry Ford College's faculty, staff, administration, or students, but are solely the views of our own editorial opinions as well as those of our guests. We thank you for listening. Stay with us. The new WHFR Journal will continue with more right after this.
Every hiring manager knows that a company is only as good as the people it's made from. So where do you find the best people? That may surprise you.
Meet the grads of life. Young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
This is talent worth knowing about.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Classical is your genre, WHFR is the place to be in the late night hours until 10 a.m. 7 days a week. From Beethoven and Mozart to Bach and Brahms, let it lull you to sleep at night and wake you up in the morning. Or for you night owls, enjoy the soothing sounds of classical music all night long. 89.3 FM or WHFR.FM on your computer. Make WHFR the station for classical.
Thanks for staying with us. Susan McGraw here along with Alan Mazurek. This is the new WHFR Journal. And note that we are recorded for broadcast on this beautiful Friday. We are excited that you stayed with us. And we're excited to welcome our next guest, a candidate for City Council of Dearborn. Mr. Sean Green is with us in studio today. And we're looking forward to getting some insight, Sean, as to some positions that you might hold near and dear to your heart and why you've decided to make this leap into this council race. Welcome to our studio.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you having me here today.
Certainly. A little brief summary, if you would, about your background, your business experience, education, to get us started.
Well, I'm originally from the state of Texas, as you can probably tell by my accent. I've been in the city of Dearborn for the last 11 years. I've been giving back to the city for the last seven. I attended the University of Houston, got a degree in hospitality management, and after that I went into the United States Navy and served honorably for 6 years during the first Gulf War in Bosnia. I do also have a master's degree from John Carroll University as well, and I spent most of my career in the hospitality industry as a businessman owning different franchises throughout the country.
Very good. Well, thank you. The position of Dearborn City Council is one that can be interpreted, I think, differently depending on who you ask. Uh-huh. But in your position, how do you see the role of a city council person, its requirements and its responsibilities?
The city council is basically one thing. It is the checks and balances of our city. It oversees the budget and the city charter. They cannot dictate city policy when it comes to police and fire. They can't make laws and rules that generate them. They can hire policemen and they can hire firefighters, but the termination of that is based on what the fire chief wants to do. And so basically they oversee the budget. When they get the budget every year, they review it, look at it, determine if there needs to be changes, added subtractions from there, and then when throughout the year if additional expenditures come up, they're responsible for approving it on a team basis. All seven of them have to come together for majority rule and ensure that they're making the best decision for the entire city of Dearborn, not just specific parts of it.
Okay, thank you. How do you feel your background, your experience, passion, dedication makes you qualified, best qualified for the position?
I sit currently on the Dearborn Housing Commission, which is the federal housing commission here in the city of Dearborn that oversees Section 8 housing, senior housing, and disabled housing in our city. What the housing commission does is the exact same thing city council does. We are the system of checks and balances for federal dollars. Our budget is a multi-million dollar budget. We oversee three federal housing facilities in this city that are almost 100% filled. Our buildings have more than 200 plus people in each one. And we're responsible for the safety, clean well-being of their living conditions. Currently, we just finished a multi-million dollar renovation of the balconies in all three of the buildings that we have. We recently in Townsend Center pulled out asbestos tile that we found that was in there to make it a cleaner, safer environment for them, replaced a brand new tile, brand new carpet in all the public space areas. We're in the process of starting the repainting and the remodeling of the living space as well. So we do the exact same thing city council does, and that's what makes me qualified because I've been doing it for the last 3.5, almost 4 years now next month. I've been doing the exact same thing.
Why did you decide that you wanted to translate that experience into this position specifically?
What I've been doing for the last 7 years is I've been very active in the veterans community. And one thing that I believe in is that the reason that the veterans have it as well as we do today is because somebody stepped up before us. The reason the city of Dearborn is as great as it is today is because somebody picked up the torch and made it better for us. I want to pick that torch up now and take care of those that set the guidelines for us, that came before us and made the city as great as it is. But I also have a 10-year-old daughter, and she loves the city of Dearborn, and I want to make sure this city is just as great for her. When I look at the city of Dearborn, I look at the diversity that we have. I look at everything that we've had. I've lived all over the United States. Grew up in Texas, was stationed in Tennessee, in Florida, lived in Hilton Head, lived in Ohio. I'm sorry to say I lived in Ohio. But Dearborn is fantastic. It is a melting pot. It is the city that our founding fathers want our country to be. Look at this campus. If you walk across this campus, you see diverse people walking hand in hand, talking, loving, caring about each other. And the only thing they care about is just getting through the day. There's no hate. There's none of that. And I want to ensure that what we have here on this campus and what we, as the way I put it to one person, I want the city of Dearborn to be a Tigers game. And what I mean is when you go to a Tigers game, everybody has one agenda, and that is for the Tigers to win. Everybody loves the Tigers. No one cares about anybody else. As long as you're wearing the old English D on your hat, everybody cares. It's when you leave the stadium that everything else comes to mind. I want the city of Dearborn to be a Tigers game, and everybody just love each other, care about each other, and then help each other move forward.
Sean Green is joining us today, council candidate for Dearborn City Council. You alluded to some of the components that you feel, it sounds like, make the city a very positive place to be. So for living and working in the city, what are some of the other things that you think makes people want to be here? Some of the other positive aspects that you'd maybe like through your potential position to see enhanced or made even stronger?
Well, what we have is that for a city of almost 100,000 people, we have millions of people come through our city every day, especially on the weekends when they come, you know, to Greenfield Village and the Henry Ford Museum. And one of the things that I'm proud that I was able to do is in front of the Henry Ford Centennial Library, there's a brand new Veterans Park and War Memorial. I led the team that helped design the park and oversaw the build for the city to ensure that the park was built on time in the way it's supposed to, and it's a beautiful addition to our city. We have great parks. We have great city services. We have the best police and fire, to me, in the state. When a firefighter comes to your house, they are trained like any ambulance person would be, like EMS. And we're one of the only cities that have that, which makes us, you know, a plus. People complain about the taxes, but what a lot of people I don't think understands is that the city's job is to collect taxes for everybody, for the city, for the state, for the county. When you take the county and state taxes out of your taxes, you end up paying about $100 a month for your city taxes. That's $1,200 a year for what you're getting in the city of Dearborn, and that is fantastic. What we need to work on is the equality basis on how our city is driven. If you go to the south end, you see parks that are very green, but you see backboards that are missing hoops. You see concrete that is broken. You see rats in the east end, and you see trees being taken down all over the city. And what we need to ensure that everything's set on an equal playing field. In the restaurant field, when I opened a new restaurant, there was a checklist. Everybody had the same thing. We need to do the same thing with our park system. We need to have a checklist so every day our park or recreation people are going to these parks and going, okay, this park doesn't have a backboard. This park's got sidewalks that's a trip hazard that makes it a dangerous environment. We need to ensure that gets fixed quickly. There's a park over by Wyoming called Gary Park. I was over there talking to a young lady, and she goes, could you do something about the park? So we walked over, and what we saw were vulgarities spray painted on the park. She says, nobody comes over here. Got in the car, went straight to Park and Rec. That day, they sent somebody out and cleared it. I constantly check that park now. I constantly check all the parks. We need to ensure that equality is something that is more than just a word. It's something, it's a way of life for our city.
All right. Thank you for that, Sean. You've alluded to some of the sort of the bigger picture problems, some of the things that are pretty hardcore at sort of at the core of the city centrally. And when we talk about coming in and making those types of changes, it's potentially more of a culture change, cultural mindset change than just a one-time fix kind of a thing. You also brought the concept of sustainability a little bit, environmental issues with the parks and so on. But do you see any things that you would come in and kind of try to zip out pretty quickly as it relates to your role as a potential city council candidate?
What I'd like to say, one of the things I want to stop is I watch every city council meeting. I don't go to every one of them because I do have a 10-year-old. And if I do get elected, I will go to every one of them because I'm required to. But what I saw is that people consistently come to council with their complaints. And when you get up there, one, council's set up to where they're kind of on a pedestal. And they're up there and they're up high. And we, the citizens, are kind of down below looking up to the kingmakers, as you might call it. And it's hard and it's embarrassing. And it takes a lot of courage to get up there and speak. And you get up there and you tell them your name and you give them your address. And then you tell them your problem. But what I found out is that about 95% of those problems are not being resolved. We are a government of the people, for the people, by the people. So the people should be taken care of and the people should be listened to. When I had the restaurants, I used a term called learn. And the learn term came from when somebody had a complaint. First thing you do was listen. You empathize, you apologize. And the last two is what our city needs to work on very, very hard with. We need to react, and we need to notify. You can't be afraid to tell the person the truth. People are going to come up there and say, this is my problem, this is my problem. They might not know the law. They might not know the ordinance. Our job is to tell them the truth and let them know you were mistaken in this. I'll make sure you get the answer. It might not be the answer that they want, but it will be the truth, and you will get an answer. That's what I want to change. I want to ensure that people are listened to in this city and treated with dignity and respect.
All right. A lot of candidates for council, as we know, this time around, talking about what they view city government can do better, things that we should do, have more of as citizens of this community, and everybody does tend to have a thing that they're specializing in or a position that they're pushing or, you know, feeling a little more strongly or passionate about. If you could summarize maybe the couple of things in your position that you feel makes you stand out, makes you most qualified for this candidacy over this position over any of the other council members.
Well, first is what I said earlier about being on the Housing Commission. I already have an understanding of what the job pertains. I have a history of working as a team. I was the commander of the Dearborn Allied War Veterans Council. The men and women that sit on that council are as old as World War II veterans and as young as OEF, OIF Nation, which are the men and women coming out of the service now. So I've had to deal with a wide range of people and a large, diverse group of people. I'm used to working as a team. I'm used to, if I don't get my way, you adapt and overcome. Spending 6 years in the United States military helped develop me as a leader, someone who's willing to put themselves before everybody else. And that's what I want to do. I want to continue to be the forefront of defense for our city. Let me take it on the chin for the city. The city doesn't have to. Let me do it.
All right. Thank you. Is there an opportunity for someone to get more information about you, Sean, or have an opportunity to chat with you directly? How can we get more of that?
You can get more information on my Facebook page, Sean, the number 4 Dearborn, or on my Instagram page. You can reach out to me, and I'm not afraid. You can have my cell phone number. It's 248-210-8791. Reach out. I'm available 24/7. My phone never turns off. I consistently answer it. If you want a lawn sign, I deliver it myself. I don't have a team of hundreds of people. It's me, my fiance, and my 10-year-old. We're the ones that knock on the doors because people don't want to meet the people working for me. They want to meet the candidate. So I've made it a point to get out there on my own. I started this campaign season at 205 pounds. I now weigh 175. So if you want to lose weight, run for city politics. You'll do a lot of walking.
That's great. Great advice right there, that's for sure. Well, Sean, it's been a pleasure getting to know you a little bit more.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, certainly. We know there's been a lot going on. It's been a busy season, certainly, politically. As a military person, I'm sure you support just as strongly, more strongly than most, perhaps, the freedom, the ability to vote.
Yes.
So we certainly want to get people out to those polls, regardless of who they vote for. But so in a nutshell, why should they push that button for you?
Well, because I'm a nonpartisan candidate. Somebody asked me one time, what is your party? And are you a Democrat or Republican? And I said, I consider myself a constitutionalist. And they go, what do you mean? I said, well, the Constitution is a blanket document that represents everybody in this country equally. And that's how I view our government is, and that's why how I believe our government officials should be. So that's the type of politics that I believe in, politics and government that looks out for everybody, no matter their sex, their race, ethnic origin, anything. It's just it should all be equality.
All right. Well, there you go. Thank you for your years of service to our military as well. And we're very pleased to have had the time to get to know you today.
Thank you, ma'am.
So all the best to you. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sean Green representing his positions as candidate for Dearborn City Council. We have more on the way. Stay with us, please. This is the new WHFR Journal. Do remember the views expressed during today's program and all programs represent our own opinions and those of our guests and not our college, our community of students, or our administration. Stay with us. We've got more to come as we, I think, talk sports and just a bit right here on the new WHFR Journal.
Robots the size of blood cells, Earth-like planets outside the solar system.
Science fiction?
No, science faction. Join us, Seth Shostak and
Molly Bentley and
WHFR each Tuesday at noon for Big Picture Science.
Big Picture Science steps back to get the wide-angle view on science and technology from where they've been to where they're headed.
So think big. Big Picture Science. You'll find it here on WHFR.FM every Tuesday at noon.
We're making waves on WHFR 89.3.
Do you ever wonder about things that seem to have no earthly explanation? Like that little voice in the back of your head telling you something's right or wrong that may help guide you? Or that dream that might let you know what your future fate may be? Well, these are some of the questions we delve into, along with such topics as crystals, astrology, numerology, past life regression, and many more on the talk show known as Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway, inviting all of our loyal listeners to please be sure and tune in every third Tuesday of the month at 1 p.m. for Metaphysically Speaking, right here on WHFR.FM, the station making waves.
Welcome back. This is the new WHFR Journal. Thanks for staying with us today. Susan McGraw here along with Alan Mazurek. And we are excited to enjoy some beautiful weather. I want to say it's great football weather, but it's great baseball weather. It's great go-to-the-beach weather.
It's great, I'm telling you.
Fantastic. But, Josh, we've got some response from what happened last week on the big fields in town. And then you've got some picks for this week as well.
Yes, I do.
Tell us what you got.
Okay. So this is, sadly, the last regular season week for high school football before the playoffs get started underway next week. Last week, sadly, Dearborn fell to 2-6 and won't be making the playoffs this week after losing 29-22 to Romulus. They wrap up their season tonight against Skyline at home. You have Fortson, who moved to 7-1, will be making it to the playoffs after beating Thurston 31-12. Fortson will wrap up their regular season tonight on the road down in Monroe to tune up for the playoffs.
Okay.
You have Edsel Ford also last week becoming playoff bound as they beat Redford Union 35-28. Tonight, they'll wrap up the final game of their regular season and final game as a member of the league that they're in currently with the rest of the Dearborn schools, as they'll host Ferndale. Then you have Crestwood, the only other team in the city proper of Dearborn that will not be making the playoffs, as they lost to Robichaud 34-26 last week.
You know, we're a little partial to our Dearborn teams, of course, so no offense to anybody that's rooting for any of these other teams, but you keep saying things like sadly and darn it and unfortunately. That's why. We're a Dearborn community, and we of course, want to root on our own teams.
Yeah. Crestwood will host Hamtramck tonight, and then Robichaud, who's another city of Dearborn team, will try to get in at 5 wins with a win tonight over Detroit Community.
So if they win, then they make the playoffs.
They could, yes. Okay. If it all depends on the points.
Got it.
Then you have
Alan, how about that Divine Child game last week?
How about that? Yes.
40-18 over Loyola.
And Loyola has, I mean, always been a powerhouse. Mm-hmm. Just not the year I think that they were expecting, but a good win for the Falcons, I think.
Yeah. They'll move on to play in the Catholic League Championship down at Ford Field in Detroit on Saturday, as they'll play Ann Arbor Gabriel Richard for a second time in the last few weeks, where, as if the listeners remember, the Divine Child beat them 14-13 off of a field goal from a pretty good kicker in the area.
Yep, indeed. That was the extra point, actually. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Extra point. Yeah. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Alan Puck will look to make it to the playoffs for the seventh straight year, as they, with a win, will move to 5-4 over Truman. Then you also have Lincoln Puck playing Carlson, which Carlson played a heck of a game last week against Wyandotte, where Carlson blew a 20-9 halftime lead to lose 24-20, and Wyandotte will get a tune-up over Melvindale tonight. All of those games were exciting to watch last week. You have some exciting games this week, too. You have Dearborn and Skyline, who I have Dearborn going in, and I feel that they have the team to go and win that game tonight. You have Fortson playing Monroe. Fortson's been a high-powered offense this year. I have them going on to win. I sadly have Hamtramck beating Crestwood tonight. Then I have Robichaud over Detroit. And like I said earlier, it is tough to beat a team twice. I do sadly think, Alan, Gabriel Richard is going to come out on top this time over Divine Child.
We'll see who's going to be bringing in coffee next week. All right.
Then I have Alan Puck over Truman, Carlson over Lincoln Puck, and I'm taking Wyandotte to beat Melvindale this weekend.
And then, of course, Josh, all those teams that will be moving on to the playoffs, I'm sure they're going to be sitting with bated breath, having their team dinners and their parties Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, when the actual playoff brackets are announced by the Michigan High School Athletic Association. It's always a big deal for a lot of teams that have put in a lot of hard work. And, of course, yes, I mean, there are a lot of other teams that have put in hard work that sadly won't be moving on. But there's always next year, right?
Yeah. Congrats to all of these teams in the regular season this year. They all put on one heck of a show for their fans and the communities. One final note, though. Once again, that Ann Arbor Gabriel Richard versus Divine Child game will be on Saturday at Ford Field in Detroit, the home of the Lions.
1 p.m.
At 1 p.m.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the update, Josh. As always, we're working on getting you a sports show of your own as you've just come through the staff training class.
Yeah.
And we are going to move to get more of this information out there on a regular basis to our listeners. But thanks for sitting in on our show today. We've got more other items to talk about, but we'll let you go and appreciate your time as always.
Thank you for having me again.
Pleasure. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Music has evolved a great deal in the past 300 years. And that's only because of artists who were able to express themselves in ways that the common practice couldn't. Music is art, and great art should seek to change the world. No one knows when the next wave will break, but when it does, you can rest assured you'll hear it on the Spaces of Place program every Friday evening from 6 until 8 p.m. with me, your host, Tom Wilson, right here on your favorite radio station, 89.3 WHFR Dearborn, the station making waves.
Welcome back to the new WHFR Journal. Just a couple of minutes left in today's program. I'm Alan Mazurek along with Susan McGraw. And thanks, Josh, again for the wonderful sports reporting. We look forward to hearing about all the playoff matchups next week when we talk to you again, hopefully. Couple of things going on in the community that I just wanted to mention while we've got just a few seconds. And here at WHFR, obviously, we have these news and public affairs programs that are part of our mission. We're also very, very music heavy on our programming in a good way. We have a lot of musicians that have come through this station in for over the 32 years that we've been on the air. and I'm sure that quite a few of them might have at some point stopped in at Wonderland Music over there on Michigan Avenue, just east of Schaefer. It's been an institution for anybody in the music community in Detroit, and in Dearborn in particular. But we found out this week that coming up in a couple of weeks, early November, Crazy Clarence and Company are going to be closing the doors and having one last big sale in Wonderland Music going out of business.
Yeah, it's mixed emotions about that. We know things are changing a little bit. We know the industry is evolving, but boy, they were just a staple. And I, you know, I think so many of us have memories of getting that very first copy of something or picking up that particular instrument for the first time at that location. And we have them to thank for all of that. So yeah, a lot of bittersweet moments related to that. But we certainly wish them the best in whatever they do, and we thank them for their contribution and support to our musical community.
They've been a big part of the music community in Dearborn and Metro Detroit. Every, you know, wannabe guitarist like myself or somebody who actually turned into a real guitarist, it was kind of a rite of passage the first time you walked into Wonderland Music to pick up an instrument. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Speaking of music, the WHFR 10th Annual Record Show is taking place tomorrow, and we would love you to be there. This is really considered one of the premier music shows in the Metro Detroit area. We have vendors from all over this part of the country, and it is a great opportunity to pick up some stocking stuffers for the holidays, or maybe that special CD, that special record or 45 that you have been looking for the past 20 years. Chances are, it's going to be here, I'm telling you. We have over 75 tables of vendors that are going to be present. It is here in the Student Center building, the M building, on our campus here on Evergreen Road in Dearborn at Henry Ford College. And it's a wonderful opportunity to just pop in, learn about some things that you've been looking to research musically, and then hopefully buy some fun stuff. One thing to note, we don't turn anybody away. It's a sliding scale for the fee to get in from 9 to 10 a.m. The show opens at 9. From 9 to 10, it's a $5 donation. We call it the early bird time. And then starting at 10 o'clock, it's a sliding scale. Anywhere from $1 to $5, we'll take it as your donation to get into the show. And we'll have door prizes and lots of really fun things going on, as well as music. Also, if you like movies, memorabilia, posters, all sorts of things.
Things like that. Bigger and better than ever, right?
No doubt. And it really is a great fundraiser for this radio station. So if you like what you hear on WHFR, come down for that reason alone, and I'm sure you will be very, very pleased.
All right, thanks. That'll just about do it for this week's edition of the new WHFR Journal. Stay tuned. We'll take a trip down Highway 61 in just a couple of minutes. I'm Alan Mazurek along with Susan McGraw. Have a great weekend. We hope to see you at the record show tomorrow here on the Henry Ford campus, just literally yards away from where our studios are. Parking is free. We do hope to see you there.
This is WHFR Dearborn. Twin Cities down to the Gulf of Mexico.